So the problem is that we have little time for discussion, which is, of course, you know, a shame. On the other hand, thank you so very much for these presentations, because you have really tackled this issue in such a subtle manner. This was wonderful. And I think, you know, we can talk in German, because Gadi speaks German very well, probably better than myself. So let's start with the discussion immediately. I can imagine that there are going to be some questions from the audience here. Question to Gadi Al-Ghazi, please.
Mention of capital, the choice of title, which is obviously ironic, but I'm sure you've thought about it. It seems to me that it points to, in a humorous way, because we all laughed, to two things, makes two suggestions. One, it points to the problem of leisure, or I seem to remember that Marx had things to say about the relationship of leisure and intellectual work. And as you so beautifully pointed out, there are a lot of indicators of this work being enjoyed or undertaken in a state of leisure. And the second is the irony, I think it's an irony, of a philosopher in Poland in 2013 reading Marx. I don't know if that's a question, but it's an I would ask you to elaborate on that. The other thing is, I seem to remember that Jerome had a cat, not a dog, and it was a big cat.
No, it's a dog.
Really?
It's a dog. And it's a whole lineage of dogs going from Jerome's actually lion to Faust's poodle.
That's what I meant, the lion. A lion's a cat, right?
Yes. The thing is that this is not just an iconographic lion, but real dogs that are sometimes documented as Kola's favorite pets in the 15th and 16th century, although some of them did import cats from the Middle East, as one Italian woman philosopher did, but most of the cats ran through the window. She lived in Venice and probably lived happy ever after. It's Venice, after all, ever since. But as to the little thing about the movie, this is far too good for me. When I watch those moments in films, I feel that it's not my role to overlay them with interpretations. But if I had to, I would ask, which volume of Capital is he reading? And is it perhaps that he is reading the part about productive and non-productive work? I think it's the third volume, which is about the production of intellectuals and lawyers. And
I mean, as far as I understand it, interpretation is just about explaining the joke.
Ich glaube, wir können das gleich drei Reihen weiter nach hinten geben,
aber nicht weitere Fragestellungen.
Also da ist mal und dann nachher dort.
Er hat auch auf Englisch gesprochen. Okay. Okay.
Okay. Geht es? Hört man mich? Ja. Also ich hatte eine Frage.
So I have a question to Rael Yegi, but actually I would direct them at all the panelists. But Rael Yegi is the one who triggered this question. That is the definition of work, because that's a foundation on which this project rests. In many of the examples we have seen, we do see that, well, intuitively speaking, well, it's not about work. I don't think that we can get a satisfactory definition, because we always come up with, you know, counter examples in terms of activity and non-activity, or where people say, well, I don't experience this to be work, but it should be subsumed under the heading of work. Some of the works that I have seen downstairs seem to me to have been completely excluded, and that is what we normally state or call female work, unpaid work, emotional affective work. Isn't that a problem that resides in our minds as well? wouldn't we maybe have to change the title of, you know, your perceptions here? This is what they called work in 2013, 2014, etc. Aren't we talking about, you know, trying to find a definition, what we understand labor to be and what has to be subsumed and what is not? Well, we could say, of course, this might only be a working title in order to crack a joke, but it's not really a response to your question. There is no microphone on, so nothing can be translated without any microphone. It's not possible, sorry. So, okay, you say it's work. That might not be the intention of the project. However, I think your point is correct. And that's what I wanted to say when offering a suggestion. When I said that we should formulate an, maybe not formulate an anthropological working definition. So work as a social practice of a certain kind that points to a certain production relationships, you know, that is one thing. And it might also have something to do with, you know, what we've seen with the philosopher sitting there in the chair and reading the book. And basically what we say is, well, there is no other concept of work, no other term of work. We cannot look for any other term than the one that we have. There is the societal practice. It's followed up by other practices and the attempt to actually define it as an exchange of societal performance activities. Well, you can, of course, try and do that. But on the other hand, we have to understand that it's not like we can say, well, work is something that people are paid for. Then what would happen with all these informal laborers? No, we need a different type of term if we want to talk about defining work. That has nothing to do maybe with activities only in the traditional sense of the word. And so I think there is an abundance of aspects that we have to somehow understand. And this is what makes it so difficult. Also, the historical explanations. And I think, you know, the analysis of the philosopher was very well taken here, because it is clear, not only in relationship to the film, that actually we do start from the assumption that this is work because, you know, something is happening on the screen. We see the surgeon and, you know, he has this, you know, the scissors, and we do believe that he's in an operating theater, but we do not know for sure. Maybe it's a hobby of his, you know, and we don't know. We just interpret it as if it was work, paid work, mind you. But as to the philosopher, we don't know whether he's a philosopher, whether this is his work to read The Capital. But at in different times, this would be vita complementiva. You know, an important activity that does not really share certain characteristics of activities. Well, that might be the question of an inductive or deductive method. So your suggestion is you need a working definition in order to structure the project of 300 or so takes. So then afterwards you can take a decision on whether you think that this will fit or will not fit into that project. So my question would be, well, what about the paratexts? What role would they play if there is, you know, that film, you know, showing the philosopher? It should be then headed as, well, the film title being a philosopher and not the man who's reading. Well, I'm a practitioner, and therefore I would say it somehow differently. I would say, in case of work, in the field of culture, we always have to use two terms, an anthropological broad-based definition, so that we include everything we don't want to lose sight of, so also homework, but also non-productive work, reproductive work, maybe. And at the same time, a narrower definition for people to know what they are struggling for within society. So for them to know, this is what we struggle for, this is work. And I believe, and for me as a historian, these struggles are important. But also, you know, a narrow and a wider definition of culture. We cannot really distinguish or separate these two. We always need these two things. And very often we go from one to the next and don't even notice. Well, there are at least six or seven people who would like to take the floor. Unfortunately, I have that very difficult task to just cut this discussion off. Sorry, I have to cut this short. And I would suggest that we continue speaking in the lobby and the corridors. Thank you very much.